Please remain standing as you are able. Our gospel reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the Lord, or unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Scars. Wounds. They tell a story. And I have many to tell you this morning. Let me tell you about myself. Do you have time?
Yes.
Don't answer. Rhetorical. In seventh grade, I had my first surgery on my left leg. I blew out both my ACLs. I blew out one meniscus. I crushed my hand underneath the truck. I've had metal in my body for 10 years, and I finally had it removed not too long ago. I've broken most of my toes. I fell on cement running across the parking lot many a times. Some of you may now respond, "Oh." Keep that to yourself. I have many scars. But the ones that bothered me the most were the ones that kept me from what I love the most. In seventh grade, when I had that surgery, I was not able to play football seventh grade year. I was able to play eighth grade. Ninth grade, I was able to come, but my leg from surgery still bothered me. In fact, my leg issue went for about 12 to 15 years. Both my knees, I tore my first ACL, the end of my freshman year, I was not able to play my sophomore year of football. As soon as I was released and back in pretty good shape, I tore my left one. And I figured, okay, well, if I can't do this, why is God keeping me from this? God put all my eggs into one basket, football. There's nothing else that interests me. And during this time, I became very bitter. From 94 to year 2000, 6 years of really not liking God. I really just didn't like Him. He knows my passions. He knows my desires. And yet He still did this to me. He kept me from what I love. And that anger stayed within me for years, for absolute years. And then finally, one year, while I was at A&M, went to the eye doctor, because I have to go every year. Without contacts, yeah, that's not even a sermon, that's a book. He was very astonished with my eyes. Most people are, because I'm one click away from no more contacts, because they don't make contacts strong enough for my eyes at that point. But he was very astonished, and he asked me, "Has any other eye doctor been concerned with your vision?" I said, "No, sir, not at all." I just knew it was really bad because everybody's response is, "Oh, wow, you have really bad eyes. Thank you. I feel great now." But he said, "Did you realize?" Oh, no, he asked me, "Do you play any contact sports right now?" I was like, "Man, I wish, but I can't." "Well, that's good. Do you do anything whatsoever that can shake your head?" And I was like, "Well, that's an odd question. I still play basketball, but nothing very competitive." "Do you realize that one good blow to your head and you'll be blind for the rest of your life?" Interesting. And at that moment, I didn't think about my eyesight. At that moment, I gave thanks to God for giving me two bad knees. For so many years, I complained. I didn't see Jesus in my life because being taken away from something that I loved so much, I didn't want to see Jesus. He's supposed to be my protector. He's supposed to be the one who gives me life. He's supposed to be the one who brings me joy. Oh, how little I knew. And how impatient I was. Now you see, I have to tell you something again. I love God. I love God immensely. I could be anywhere and God speaks to me. It doesn't mean I'm listening all the time, but God's speaking. And though I had a sermon already prepared, God connected dots that I needed to speak. And I think it's something that we need to hear, because obviously God put it on my heart for a reason. Right now, our church family is pretty bitter. We're disappointed. And we're allowing things within our church family to block us from His glory, from His love, and from His compassion. Ever since the end of 2013, and when I say we, I mean church staff, ministry leaders, SPR, everybody. We've either heard complaints or have spoken complaints of our 2014 budget. And now, two very large AC units have gone out, and we need to repair a roof that is looking at $80,000. $80,000 can really blind our vision away from God. And right now, we may become bitter and saying, that's just too much money. That is too much. And there is no way that we can meet this year's expected budget. And on top of that, take care of two AC units and a roof. Why can't we just get large shop fans and put a bucket underneath the drip? And you know, those are valid questions. Why can't we do something simple? Why can't we just put a Band-Aid over the wound until we feel comfortable to accept this challenge? These wounds that Thomas claimed to want to see before he believed was not a matter of him saying, no, I don't believe what you say. But how can I testify that Christ is still alive, that Christ is moving within me so that I can go elsewhere and witness to those who yet to believe? Thomas is a believer. Thomas just wants to understand better. And when Jesus came and appeared, he turned to Thomas and says, let me show you my wounds so that you can see what has happened in the past still be true today, but with God's power and love, these wounds are healed and I am alive in you. You see, I still bear these wounds. I still have every single scar of every single injury I've ever incurred in my life on this body. And to speak spiritually, I remember my sins. I remember the buttons that Satan pushes quite often, reminding me of the past and yet trying to bring the past to my present. And how appropriate is it for us to speak of wounds within this church? During our stewardship campaign, we talked about, or our theme was, there's a lot of history in our future. And those wounds are still present. Those challenges that this church faced in years past are still with us today as stories of hope. This is not the greatest challenge we've ever faced, but this is the greatest challenge that we face right now. And brothers and sisters, if Jesus Christ was about right now, then church would be over. Jesus Christ is about now and tomorrow and today and for the days to come. He is about life. And we all know that injuries, broken bones, blood on a cross enter into our life. But guess what? They pass on by. When we present to you a financial need, we are not actually asking for your money. Heaven forbid that ever happen in this church or in God's church alone. All we are asking is that each one of us identify ourselves as Thomas and say, God, remind me of the acts that you have done, of the acts of the sufferings that I have gone through, of this church family has gone through, and the times in which you have brought us through. You have healed us. Give me that faith, give me that hope, so that these wounds will give me the encouragement to allow you to work through each one of us in our church family. We're not asking for your financial gifts. We're asking for all of us, those here and those not present, to become stewards in a sacrificial, loving way. Christ died for you. Christ still wears those scars of the nail going through his hand, of the spear going into his side. He still has those scars. Just as we have our past, God redeemed his son, raised him from the dead, so that you and I can have eternal life. And God will do the same right now, right here, today and the days to come, for you and I, this church family, this community, this nation, this world. Why do we complain about the things that affect us? Is because we become blind to God's will. We become blind to God's presence, and we forget all he has done for you and I. Let us not complain. Let us not doubt that we'll get through this. But let us have the faith of a disciple of Jesus Christ and saying, you know what? We have challenges that lay before us, but we know our God is bigger. And we serve him each and every day because of the faith he has given to us, the faith we have received, because he has shown himself to us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God loves you so much that he came to you and showed you his wounds. But God loves you so much, he will not leave you where you are. Let us stand and move together as a family of brothers and sisters who form the body of Christ. Amen.